What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start right here in Los Angeles. All right, the Snoop Dogg, Gayle King controversy over the legacy of Kobe Bryant is turning into quite the teachable moment. Last week, CBS aired a highlight package of King interviewing former WNBA star and Kobe Bryant friend Lisa Leslie that focused on King asking whether 2003 sexual assault allegations complicated Bryant's legacy. Snoop Dogg, LeBron James, and others used social media to attack King for asking the question in the immediate aftermath of Bryant's tragic death. Snoop's profane rant struck King and others as a physical threat. King's friend Oprah Winfrey said Snoop's words provoked death threats towards King. Susan Rice, national security advisor during the Obama administration, took to Twitter and pledged that an army would destroy Snoop if his actions harm Gayle King. Over the weekend, Snoop clarified and walked back his harsh words, releasing an Instagram video claiming his words were not a threat and that he's a nonviolent person. Well, finally yesterday, Snoop did the honorable thing and issued an apology via Instagram.
Two wrongs don't make no right. When you're wrong, you gotta fix it.
Gayle King.
I publicly tore you down by coming at you in a derogatory manner based off of emotions, me being angry at questions that you asked.
Overreacted.
I should have handled it way different than that. I was raised way better than that.
A lot of people look up to me
and they love me and they appreciate me, so I want to let them know that. Anytime you mess up, it's okay to fix it. It's okay to man up and say that you're wrong. I apologize.
Cynics will question the sincerity of the apology. They will accurately point out that Snoop's financial livelihood is at stake. You can't be a regular on Martha Stewart's cooking show if you're threatening 65-year-old women. Snoop's advertising base is justifiably uncomfortable with the mistake he made here. But I don't question Snoop's sincerity because of the ground he covered in the apology. By saying two wrongs don't make a right, he stood firm in his belief that King's line of questioning was inappropriate. He acknowledged that his original rant was a byproduct of being controlled by emotions rather than logic and reason. He recognized that he'd embarrassed his family, particularly his mother, and he accepted that he has a responsibility to be a role model to the young people who look up to him. And then, at the conclusion, Snoop asked for a chance to make peace and find common ground privately. He covered nearly every base. More importantly, his apology should provoke a conversation among men, particularly black men, about controlling our emotions. We live in this new age society where everyone thinks it's important to express their emotions. Social media beckons us to share our emotions like we're sitting on Oprah's couch 24/7. I reject the entire concept. It's unmanly. It's a detriment to society. I cannot speak for women, but it's my belief men are best served working through and harnessing their emotions privately within themselves, with their spouse, or a therapist. Constantly sharing or giving in to our emotions leads to poor decision-making. I said Snoop covered nearly every base in his apology. The only issue he failed to touch was his love affair with being high. It's become fashionable to laugh off marijuana use. Drugs cloud your thinking. They make it easier to give in to your emotions. We think there's no penalty for drug use. American prisons are filled with men who lost control of their emotions and made poor decisions while high. The Snoop Dogg, Gayle King controversy gives us a lot to talk about. We brought in Los Angeles rapper, Phantom Speak For Yourself, Glasses Malone, to help us talk about it. This show is now officially 100% certified. LeVar Arrington, as usual, is here with us as well. Marcellus,
yes,
get us rolling.
Yeah.
The Snoop's misstep with Gayle King illustrate a problem we have with controlling our emotions.
No, it does not. Now, full disclosure, I talked to Snoop last night. He wanted to thank this show in particular. Talking to his mom, he said, watching our show in depth, he said it triggered some things internally, what made him want to come out and make that public apology. And he's looking forward to coming on our show. Hopefully we can make that happen very soon. But what Snoop just highlighted to me was something that I took notice of growing up, whether it was in Compton or off Slauson and Edgemar, which is a ghetto mindset. And to me, a ghetto mindset is when you don't have value around you and you don't feel perceived value, you don't have a lot. And when you don't feel like you have a lot, you trip over every little thing. And it's an emotional trip. It's an emotional trigger. And we all know emotional intelligence is not fluent in logic. They don't speak the same language. And what we saw with Snoop was that subculture. Glasses know about it. I know about it. I think we all know about it. Where you start to see situations come towards you, pose themselves as threats to you. And because you don't have the deep security, the deep maturity, or not fluent in how to express yourself in a cognitive way, in a logical way, you just go to your emotions. My mother was a victim of having too much emotional intelligence out of balance. My sister, the same way. It didn't take anything for them to get triggered and ready to go upside your head or worse. Not me, not my father. And I live so close to that line intimately. I saw Snoop in that same moment have that same trigger occur. So his misstep to me illustrates that no matter who you are, if you are a part of that ghetto mindset, and I saw white kids, black kids, women, as I just described, if you were in that world and you subscribe to that subculture, you were a victim as well.
Well, man, there's not a lot to say, but I don't want to say ghetto. I like the word poverty.
Okay.
Because it's not just our problem. It's anybody who, you know, if somebody steals your car and this is your only car, then you're willing to go too far for it. But if you have five cars and somebody carjacks you for your car, then you have another car. Mm. Where we come from, all you have is reputation. That's all you have. All you have is your emotions. All you have is how you feel. And honestly, with Snoop, it wasn't just this specific thing with Gayle King. It was also the fact of the combination of Oprah and Gayle King looking like they're coming after black men. He said it initially, but he didn't really go in depth about it. He said, why us? And that's like a big thing. Like, if you look at Bill Cosby, you know, you see Gayle or Oprah. I didn't really see either talking about Bill Cosby, but it's Bill Cosby. But it's not Kevin Spacey. If you look at R. Kelly, you have Gayle interviewing R. Kelly, right? But you don't have Gayle talking to any of Elvis Presley's, you know, peers or anything about his situation in the same light. If it's Oprah investing in Michael Jackson's Neverland documentary, where's the Jeffrey Epstein documentary? Right. If it's Russell Simmons, you're producing
A documentary on Russell Simmons
and his situation or whatever you believe it to be, but there's none on Harvey Weinstein. That's your friend. Where's that interview? Mm. Kobe Bryant, but there's nothing on Big Ben.
Got your point. The only thing, and I think those are legitimate, and I think that's where we started our conversation originally about trying to clarify what Snoop really meant, and I do think he did that.
Yeah.
But he could have done just what you just did here. Break it down without threatening or creating the appearance that he's threatening Gayle King. And he acknowledges he let his emotions get in the way to where if he had sat back in a cold, reasonable fashion, he could have provoked a really powerful discussion.
Snoop is the voice to the underserved community. And I think when Snoop saw the interview, much like the comments that he saw, he reacted. And I think it did expose to the question, controlling our emotions. I think it did expose a larger conversation and an issue that I always try to address as well, which is when were we ever taught to handle emotions? You know, we can get into talking about where we're from and different things like that. There are resources that some people are privy to having that most of the populations don't have. All right. So when you think about somebody who is coming up, when are we talking about, hey, control your emotions? Hey, Whit, control your emotions. It's not in the church. Mm-hmm. It's not in the schools. ROTC programs, the military, you go to a cadet situation. I can see that. I can't even really identify in sports when a coach was truly saying to control your emotions.
I would disagree. Coaches don't talk about controlling emotions.
Coaches talk about performance. Coaches talk about execution. Coaches talk about being in control of yourself to be able to perform. But emotions, I've never really, it's always reactional, not proactive. I don't really see that.
I think Marcellus said it off top when he talked about his father. And for me, it comes from my father and the conversations we had about playing a game of chess instead of a game of checkers. And there was only one way this is the way my father brought it to me. I'm not trying to be offended. There's only one way for a black man to survive, play chess. If you're going to run out here and play checkers and be all emotional, there's a grave site or a jail cell waiting for you. Period. That's the way it was brought to me.
Listen, I don't think it's DNA based. Like, I almost feel like it's kind of like this is DNA based. Our parents are emotionally strung as well. So we have, I don't know your dad. I don't know how y'all relationship work, but if something happened in my home and my father got upset about it, he was driven by emotions and he's military. So there's very few people that would have as much control in terms of what it is that how they handle themselves than somebody who served in our country in a real war, by the way. He really did get injured. So to me, I look at my mom. She's a school teacher. If something took place, emotions got involved. I don't think it's a detracting thing to say we are emotionally driven, but it's something that we should look at.
Was that ever publicly? See, privately is inside your house.
Truth.
Social media is for everyone.
Truth. Mm. Truth.
We look at social media like it's a cure for a personal problem. Like, oh, if I go to social media, I'll get the attention I need. When social media is really the virus, you're supposed to put out content that infects everybody, that you want them to spread. Can't put out stuff you don't want them to spread.
True.
Maybe your dad was in within the household, like, hey, I'm gonna kill everybody, but he didn't do that publicly.
Right.
So
right.
We gotta make sure we keep it off of social media.
I think that's a great addition to the point. I certainly think that's a great addition to the point. It doesn't need to go on. And I think if Snoop, and that's why he apologized. I think if Snoop had the opportunity where in the old days, he would have had to find an outlet. Who's going to do the interview?
But again,
who's going to publish it?
And I think Glasses makes the point that I'm trying to highlight in terms of social media has convinced us. Come out and share all of your emotions. Gayle King right there with it. Where did she respond to Snoop? Via social media.
True.
And now it took about 10 days for Snoop to say, you know what? Me and you, Gayle, we need to sit down and talk privately and talk about and deal with these issues. And that's why I got to give Snoop a lot of credit. He's made some mistakes, but his course correction has been very good.
But he's a voice. He's a voice, right? He's a voice.
Definitely. And more than a voice in his mature state right now, but we can't question the stripes that he wears through the process of that maturation. And being where I'm from and knowing Snoop intimately like that makes me respect the man for the distance traveled and the journey to the point where Snoop is now going to come out with contrition and say, I apologize for just putting this out there, this energy, when I have so many followers who are looking at me to make my next step in a direction in a positive way. I want to just digress and say one thing, though. We got to watch our pronouns because I think sometimes we take ownership. We think we monopolize poverty or ghetto when we don't, y'all. Sure. Like, let's go back here. Elvis Irish, yeah. When they came to America, yeah. Fighting Irish.
Ghetto is a Jewish
ghetto thing, is locale, right? Conditions, yeah. Not color.
Sure.
And I just always want to say that because people sometimes be thinking ghetto synonymous black.
Sure.
Calm your butt down. I'm loving the fact that Snoop confronted what he created and then he realized the totality of it and walked it back. And there's nothing that you can say in this situation that says we have a problem controlling our emotions because we all do. We all have different triggers.
True.
My trigger is different than your trigger and your trigger is different than his trigger. But let's respect that when you go to that place where it's going to be in public consumption.
Sure.
I always look at social media as an app and everyone on there is not qualified to give an opinion. But they do. I look at it as the back of the class got the microphone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when I see stuff on social media, I giggle more than anything. I think you have the mantra of...
judge my columns, enjoy my tweets.
Enjoy my tweets. Because
don't
this,
take them seriously.
Don't take them seriously. But there is a large population out there who takes these things to heart and takes these as lockstep direction. And Snoop realized that in those 10 days and realized, I'm giving people the wrong direction. Let's come back.
Yeah. The thing you make, the point you made about social media that I want to expound on, again, why I've narrowed the focus down to us and why, you know, this show really leans into a black male conversation because I want to address issues pertinent to us. Social media, particularly, they got this thing that they call Black Twitter. Mm-hmm. And we as black people have been convinced that Twitter is our best friend and that social media is our best friend. And it's what you said, Glasinter. We think it's a solution.
Sure.
We think this is the place to go that we are dominant and we're in control and let's show our emotions and we're going to cancel people and all this other stuff. And I look at it and I'm sitting back. We're canceling ourselves. We're dirtying up our names by giving into our emotions over social media. And this is why I'm so glad to see Snoop take the steps that he just took. And again, everybody knows me. Like Glasses is friends with Tech N9ne and tour with Tech N9ne. Tech N9ne's my guy. Anybody knows me, I got a love-hate thing with rap. I can be critical of it. And I've probably been critical of Snoop in the past. But it's no different than Kobe. When you start moving to areas that I really, really respected, I'm going to do nothing but celebrate you. And this dude just walked into a lane that Kobe was in, and I felt like by mentioning the loss of control of emotions helps me try to help people understand, like, social media is baiting us into this.
Yeah. Snoop, Marcellus knows this. Snoop is, I've had this conversation publicly. Snoop is such a huge icon. And Snoop knows he's this huge icon, but Snoop, I don't really ever think, understands how big he is. Like, he just, it's him. He's so naturally him. Everything he's doing is just him. So even how he uses his platform, how he talks, since I came into the rap game, Snoop has always been like Snoop. He's much bigger than that, to the point like he's doing songs with guys in Turkey and Germany, and it's the biggest thing. You know what I mean? Like, I was looking on YouTube. It's the biggest thing with a song with a guy from Turkey and Germany, and this is Snoop, and it means everything to their country. So I think Snoop also, he's him so much that he doesn't realize he means so much to all of us. So when you flex, oh, we flexing.
Mm-hmm.
We flexing right with you. And that's a huge responsibility. He has to.
And it's funny, he's so authentic.
That is just him.
That there's no veil. So yeah. He's like, yo, this is who I really am. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. I have to be something higher than that because so many people are following me. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I don't know if a lot of people know about this. And my wife put me up on game on this. And it really describes the human condition. There's five steps of it. The first one, to grow in this pyramid, you have to qualify and graduate from the bottom up, like a pyramid. First one, physiological, simple, basic needs, food, water, breathing, okay? Then we get to safety. Do you feel secure in your surroundings? Then you get to love and belonging, because once you feel safe, you can start to let a little of this out, because I feel secure. Then you get to esteem. Oh, I start to believe. And then when you get challenged with people say, hey, let's gangbang, let's do this, you're like, nah, I believe in myself. I got love, security, basic needs. And then the last one is self-actualization. Now, what I just said, map it onto the hood. How many people have graduated even from level one?
It's hard.
It's so hard. And then you talk about a guy like Snoop, you just saw a graduation. You just saw him realize, oh, I'm actually Snoop Dogg. who controls a lot of people's emotions and energy. So I love that, but then we have to keep ourselves mindful of so many people are struggling climbing up this pyramid, and many of them won't even get
and
close to
the
top.
And I think that's why he spoke in the beginning, to begin with.
We gotta go, but I do wanna end on this note. I hope that Gayle King takes Snoop up on his offer to meet with him. I understand why she's offended. I understand why she was afraid. I do believe he's being genuine in terms of wanting to connect with her, and there's something to be gained from that conversation.
Everybody has to do taxes, and yet not everybody feels comfortable doing taxes, which doesn't seem right, especially when you consider all the amazing things these same people accomplish every day of their lives. TurboTax believes that with the right tools and encouragement, people can be good at anything, yes, even taxes. And to help people feel more comfortable with the tax process, TurboTax Live gives you personal access to experienced CPAs and EAs who are there for you even on nights and weekends. And they're happy to go through your return with you line by line to double check that you've done everything right, so you can be sure to get your best possible refund and feel 100% confident in your taxes. TurboTax, all people are tax people.
LeVar Arrington is back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings.
Yeah. Stop it. Big swole over there.
Stop for a big story. Sponsored by KFC. Feed the whole family.
He's
but
back.
KFC's $20 fill-up with all the fixings. Mm. Order online at KFC.com. All right, let's move to Dallas, where Dak Prescott still doesn't have a deal, and rumors have been flying about what their QB situation could look like next season. Last week, Michael Irvin said he was hearing that the team wanted Tom Brady, and now Peter King says he actually thinks Jerry Jones would rather have Brady under center than Dak Prescott. Wow! I think Peter King is right here.
No, not at all. And it is Jerry Jones a victim of reputation bias right now, and it's messed up. We're going to use that 2014 Johnny Manziel thirst that he had, and Stephen Jones talked him off the ledge. It's 6 years later, and he has constructed a great roster to the point where we think that they're underachieving. And now Peter King, who I love, is going to go out there and say, oh, I bet you he wants Tom Brady. Why? Because that's what everyone sees in Jerry Jones, the low-hanging fruit thoughts of Jerry Jones. He wants his franchise quarterback. He wants him at the proper value. He wants to be a great negotiator. He wants to build around his franchise quarterback because his team is underachieving. But no, he does not want 43-year-old Tom Brady with the star power, with the star on his helmet.
I'm with you. Absolutely not. He wants to pair these two young talents in Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott together for years to come. He said it publicly. And then when you look at what he's doing contractually, he extended Zeke for 6 years. He wants to extend Dak for about 6 years.
Yeah.
He has his quarterback or his head coach who he feels like, if I insert this guy, this is the missing piece. Mm. I got my quarterback. I just got to find out where he fits number-wise that makes him happy and us happy, and it's feasible to do. But no, I don't believe that at all. I think he understands what he has in Dak Prescott. It's too hard to find another guy when you've brought a head coach on and then you give him a Tom Brady for one, maybe 2 years, and then say, okay, look for something else. Let's redo this all over again. He wouldn't do that.
Yes, I buy it. And here's why. Not because I'm a Tom Brady fan, but I know who Peter King is very well. I've gotten to know him very well. You don't build up to the type of credibility in the business and in the industry that he has by just throwing out loosely based facts. So by him coming and being as strong with his statement, rather have his quarterback, and he felt confident putting it out there, says to me there is a ton of validity to it.
It's, you made the point that, because just like the way we were talking about Snoop and a voice for his community, in the football world, Peter King's a major voice.
That's real.
He doesn't go out willy-nilly and say things like this, controversy. He's not hosting this show. He don't take the chances I take. When he goes out and speculates, somebody's whispered in his ear, and he's following in off of Michael Irvin basically saying the same thing.
Walked it back
and just said it wasn't somebody with a job with the Cowboys.
Are
these discussions being had? And just like I said, they're being had with Jerry Jones. And the reason why Jerry Jones is in win now. And look, would he much rather sign Dak to a long-term deal? Yes. Is he frustrated as hell that Dak wouldn't take the $33 million they offered him and that Dak has overvalued himself and put himself in a position where he's forcing us to do something we clearly don't want to do, overpaying, and so Jerry's gone to his default position.
But did Dak do that? Is that Dak's fault? They had opportunity before this year, before last year, to take care of it, but they didn't. They waited. They wanted to see, just like we all wanted to see, is he really what we think he could be? And then once he had this season, within a full season with Amari Cooper and some weapons that they put around him.
And they went 8-8.
They went 8-8.
The team underperformed.
The team underperformed, but he did not.
He had a career year.
And he made sure he did.
Hey, let's keep this going. Let's tag team this.
I'm glad you finally got somebody on stage.
I needed a friend up here.
I can't buy that reasoning, but go ahead,
Mike. I have materials here using Peter King's words against Peter King. He starts off the statement by saying, "I bet." Sound like he want to join you up here, Whitlock. This ain't the normal Peter King, let me report. This is, I bet, conjecture, right?
True? Yes.
You know that.
No, you're factual. That's a great point.
Yeah.
But just understand it. When Peter King says, I bet, it's different than me saying, I bet.
Yeah, I've been to Vegas with you.
Yeah. On this show. It's different.
Okay.
And what he said, I just feel like there's some credibility to it. There's the whole Michael Irvin piece.
It's a stack deck.
I'm going to just tell you the other thing that I think y'all, and I thought LeVar would fall in this trap too, but again, y'all better looking at me, more successful, all of that.
Here you go.
So y'all haven't been in this position where you have to go to plan B. It's like Tamron Hall is plan A. But if I have to go to an all-time great of Halle Berry, I'll do that.
End this segment now.
Get us out of here. I bet you would.
That's what Jerry's doing.
That's what he's doing?
That was good. This is certainly a negotiation tactic. Let's be clear on this, all right?
Okay, I love it.
And a takeaway from this, let's be clear on the takeaway. You are continuously building the conclusion of, we are not going to pay you, Dak. We really do not want to pay you, Dak. We are trying to give you the money that we want to give you, that we're comfortable with. But as days go on and more people come out and talk, this is like a nail in the coffin. For Peter King to put that out there,
I guarantee
you, that 100% says that it could very well happen.
It could very well happen that
Tom Brady ends up with a star.
Can y'all walk with me?
Year.
We started off with I bet. Y'all started to give me a little bit. Well,
you still owe me bottles.
I do too. Right. I got you in Vegas.
All right,
Who would you rather have your quarterback be in 2020? We're talking hypotheticals. Peter King is reporting in hypotheticals. Now, context matters because he's not talking in the constructs of a contract and football as a business. He's talking idealistically. Who would Jerry Jones rather have for 1 year? Not reality. The reality is who you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
He never addressed who Jerry Jones was going to have.
But there would be no reason for him to casually lob this out there to be consumed.
Damn, LeVar, I'm really impressed. No, I'm really impressed because that is the mind of a journalist. When you're Peter King and you write opinion pieces, you throw dabs of information out there that you can walk away from if they turn out to not be true.
Right.
But
you look like a beast.
You look like a genius if it does come true. And you only do that if you have little kernels of information to say, you know what, it's worth taking this risk.
Yeah.
Sometimes it blows up your face. It ain't no different than I sat here and it was a big bet. I think the Clippers are waiting for a trade partner and they're going to get Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
I had tiny kernels of information. It wasn't strong enough for me to lead a show with it.
Yeah.
So in the middle of a show, we had that conversation. I threw it out there. Boom, it paid off. That's what the dude
hey,
is doing.
Marcellus, that's why it continues on to say, that's why he's got a couple of really good personnel guys and his son, Stephen Jones, to talk him off his ledge.
Thank you.
Because you can't build a team around a 43-year-old.
But whether that's true or not, what he's basically telling you is it's being discussed.
No,
that's
it's
the point.
It's considered. It's a thought. It's a false reality, but it's not reality.
Greg, we've been there before. They talk about it. They may not do it, but they talk about it. They don't come out from nowhere.
Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Ketino Mobley. Crispy over there.
Crispy.
It's good to see you guys.
Let's move to the Lakers, who pulled out an overtime win over the Nuggets last night, which sent them to the All-Star break. With a four-game lead in the Western Conference, LeBron dropped another triple-double and has surpassed a lot of people's expectations this year, playing his way into the MVP conversations with Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's been leading the conversation all year. When you look at the numbers, LeBron stacks up pretty well with the Greek Freak, trailing in points and rebounds, but leading the NBA in assists and shooting a higher percentage from three. All right, question here is, think LeBron can catch Giannis in the MVP race?
No, I don't think he can catch him. Only way he could is if he played better. maybe he was the best player on his damn team. Like, how about that first? Like, win the MVP of purple and gold first. But in all seriousness, Giannis is going to have a better team record. He's going to have better numbers in totality. I just think that this is a situation where Giannis is fully motivated once again because of the shortcomings last year. We know that right now LeBron's motivated, but he's in the shared experience with Anthony Davis. And they're going to rob each other of some of the shine that's going to be necessary to get him over that hump and to get him to beat the reigning MVP.
I knew LeBron was going to do this, right? As far as there was doubt last year about LeBron.
Yeah.
From you guys.
Yeah.
There was doubt. Yeah. Doubt.
Go ahead, continue.
So now, again, now you think about this. LeBron doesn't have to prove anything when it comes to, like, trying to get an MVP. He's had those. Giannis is on another level, whereas, though, last year you were ousted, right?
Yeah.
Where you should have been more of an MVP player to get your team to the next round. LeBron James now is looking at this situation like, okay, I don't have to be MVP, but I got to play MVP type of game so that we as the Lakers can be in a good position towards the end of this season.
Can he catch Giannis?
He doesn't have to catch Giannis.
So he's not?
No, he doesn't have to catch Giannis.
That's not the question. Can he?
Yeah.
No, for what?
Why not? Because in his 17th season, he could be the MVP.
How about
that would
this?
Be a hell of an accomplishment.
In his 17th season, you're talking about him as MVP.
I got it.
That's
why not
record,
win it?
Though. That's not the same. And you know what? You're talking me into, look, LeBron and Jordan, we know what this is all about in terms of legacy. Jordan has this perfect legacy by being perfect in the finals and also no social media to see all his downfalls. And we ain't focused on the daily like we do with LeBron.
Right.
But LeBron is trying to go with this totality argument. What is he going to have, 40,000, 10,000, 10,000, MVP in my 17th year? Oh, championship in my 17th year? Like, he's going to do things that Michael Jordan can even accomplish, which is going to get him greater in that conversation of who's the real GOAT in the NBA.
Well, I just think it's unfair because one is LeBron James is 35 and Giannis is 25, right? But what I think is a great accomplishment of the LeBron part is that we're even speaking about LeBron being in the top five as far as
everything. I get it, yeah, but I think you're underselling LeBron in terms of what his story is for getting the MVP. And you're overselling Giannis. Because I sit here today, it's like, oh, this is great what Giannis is doing. But I saw him get walled up in the playoffs and exposed.
Right.
And so it's easy for me. It'd be nice regular season numbers.
I'm not understanding
I haven't LeBron. Really seen LeBron outside of a Dallas series when he took himself out.
Right.
I've never seen anybody take LeBron out.
Right.
And so I believe these numbers that LeBron is doing and this season he's had, this is the real deal.
Yeah.
This will translate to the postseason. I have questions about Giannis and whether this translates to the postseason. And in his 17th year, that's a hell of a story to sell to say he should be the MVP.
LeBron should be MVP every year to me. Because LeBron James, right, is the epitome of a just, you play 2K and you make a person up, you're making LeBron James up. That's what you're doing. And until Giannis becomes that, like a LeBron, when you're winning championships and you're making teams better, LeBron James will always be MVP to me.
Greg Jennings is back with us. Joining us now is Super Bowl champion Will Blackman.
Mm-hmm.
Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's move to Joe Burrow, who was set to go number one to the Bengals in this year's NFL draft. But Whitlock, you've been pushing for a different team, the Panthers, to go all in to try and get the number one pick from Cincy.
Oh, my.
And our friend Clay Travis had an interesting idea of how that could actually happen, tweeting out, it seems as if Carolina is moving on from Cam. If Panthers offer Christian McCaffrey and their number seven pick to the Bengals so the Panthers could draft Joe Burrow number one, should the Bengals take it? I want to ask you guys, do you think Carolina should trade CMC in pursuit of Burrow?
Look, I'm a huge CMC fan. But, yeah, I would trade him if that's what it took to get Joe Burrow. And I'm not just saying trading to the Bengals. Maybe the Bengals don't want CMC because they got Joe Mixon. But if you got to trade McCaffrey to get another asset to trade to try to couple with your number seven pick, yeah, I would do it. And I love Christian McCaffrey.
I got to gather myself.
You finish your notes.
Okay? I know you're right. Because I'm not even interested in considering this. You know, somebody just come to you with ideas like, dog, move, bruh. But I'm going to do my job because that check is coming. First of all, Joe Burrow's not even the best quarterback in the draft. That's Tua, who got that healthy hip right now. He's going to show everybody. Number one in Bucky Brooks' mock draft as well. So it's getting out there. This is the best prospect. Two, too much value in giving up a number seven pick and C-Mac, the first running back since Marshall Faulk to go for 1,000. We call that thou-thou. He went thou-thou on those dudes.
You call it what?
Thou-thou. What? You know why you don't hear it much? Because not many players do it. Since he got into the league, man, leading in scrimmage yards, you know who's number two? Somebody who's good to great. Oh, Ezekiel Elliott, second, distant second. So, no, man, I could keep going, and I probably will, but get out of my face with this one.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is a no-brainer. I keep CMC. This guy, he provides you with so much offensively. And then, regardless of who your quarterback is, I make them even better.
Yep.
So why get rid of me? That he's the only reason what when you look at the Carolina Panthers, now that they got guys retiring, my guy Cam, they don't even want him anymore. So it's like he's the only focal point that makes you think that this team is attractive.
Yeah, I agree. I'm definitely not getting rid of C-Mac. I mean, he is the offense. Like you said, you had the backup quarterback in there getting it done. I think the jury still might be out on Burrow. I know we saw what we saw last year, but this could be a situation like draft day. It could be a Bo Callahan situation. Maybe there's something that they see, a chink in the armor. Mm. I believe, yeah, Tua is number one, but I'm not going Mike Ditka style.
Let me ask all of you all this. Mike Ditka, that's a good reference.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Joe Brady thinks? Carolina's new offensive coordinator, the passing game coordinator at LSU.
Right.
What do you think he thinks of Joe Burrow? Mm. You think he thinks Tua's best? Do you think he thinks he's
But it could be a Kingsbury situation where he wanted the quarterback. He wanted him, you know? So it could be a situation where you want their guy.
Look, I'm sure Joe Brady wants him. But the talent disparity that you have as a luxury with LSU, Alabama, it's not going to work that way in the NFL. So, yeah, you want to go with your guy, but you also have to build around your guy because you won't be that far in front in terms of talent of other teams you will face, no matter how lowly those teams are. So, me on the outside, I'm not sure that Joe Burrow's not a one and like a one-hit wonder in terms of he had a body of work. For whatever reason, it didn't work out. And then he had 1 year at LSU before he had this year at LSU. So I'm not the one that's just going to throw everything away for a guy who may have just a one-hit wonder.
You bring up a good point.
Yeah.
Because a coach that has been not only seen what he's been able to do on the field, but I know you. I know what you're made of. I know your makeup. I know how you function. I know your DNA. Like, that would be attractive for a coordinator to get that in there. But he also understands there's other coaches around here that's seen something different. So if they don't see it,
I'm going to say they got a new coach, Matt Rhule, that's just coming from the college space.
Right.
Who, again.
Who's seen it.
Saw it. I'm saying, and they got a new owner. And I just think as the organization, when you go out and hire Joe Brady off of the 1 year he had with LSU, that tips your hand like we're all in on Joe Burrow.
Right.
And so now, if you go all in on Joe Burrow, you got to get Joe Burrow. And you may have to give up a piece that you really love to get it.
Well, because I'm not saying I would do it. I'm not surprised. I'm not saying that they wouldn't. I'm saying I wouldn't do it. But they are starting from scratch. That's the thing. They're starting from scratch from the top down. So I can see Tepper making a business move in the football side to go all in to get Burrow because they're building for the long term.
But we're married men up here, man. And, you know, I'm riding around with my wife, and she loves the person. She can give me all the good reasons to buy it. And there's one thing that decides it for both of us. How much it costs?
There you go.
I mean, look, I know it's fresh. I know you're going to kill
it
dinner.
It looked good to me, too.
It looked good to me, too. Let's go. Oh, hell to the nah. Two commas. So
watch. Let me tell you your wife's comeback is.
What?
See, you know this dress you bought me that I've been saving to wear to this Oscar event you're taking me to?
Mm.
This is the only purse that works with it.
Mm. We got it. It's on TV, ain't it, baby?
Again, they went out and bought.
Put it under the seat.
Joe Brady's the dress they went out and bought.
Look at this.
And you got to have that purse.
Look at this first class problems up here. Let me tell you how much it costs.
Right.
You want to know how much it costs? Christian McCaffrey is sandwiched all time as a young running back between Eric Dickerson and Adrian Peterson. Y'all want to get that up?
Nope.
Baby, you see how much that costs?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay,
no.
Me either. Yeah. Next topic.
So we ain't going to the Oscars.
Yeah, hey, no.
Oh, we're going to the
it's
party.
It's on Fox, ain't it?
We're going to the party.
Right.
Joined once again by LeVar Arrington and L.A. rapper Glasses Malone. Time for the most fearless discussion of the day. Colin Kaepernick is writing a memoir. It will be a collection of his best retweets and likes from Twitter, a collage of photos of him wearing dashikis, cornrows, and afros, and a preview of his line of Kunta Kinte t-shirts and overpriced Nikes. I kid, I don't know what's going to be in the book. My belief is Kaepernick doesn't know either. It will be ghostwritten and funded by the people determined to promote the symbol formerly known as Colin Kaepernick. The promotional campaign for Kaepernick's book and publishing company kicked off this morning on the pages of USA Today. My longtime peer and friend Jared Bell landed the exclusive interview of Kaepernick promoting the memoir. Bell wrote that Kaepernick will announce the book deal today. Bell said he exclusively interviewed Kaepernick on Tuesday. Bell is one of the best football writers of the past two decades. When it comes to Kaepernick, however, Bell is more advocate than journalist. His piece in USA Today reads more like a marketing agency-approved press release than a news story. Bell's prose turned the silent symbol into the offspring of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Abraham Lincoln, and T'Challa from the Black Panther movie. Take a listen to this Cap quote. I learned early on that in fighting against systematic oppression, dehumanization, and colonization, who controls the narrative shapes the reality of how the world views society. It controls who's loved, who's hated, who's degraded, and who's celebrated. Here's another Cap quote. I realize being able to control your narrative and tell your story the way you want to is very important. The manipulation, the colonization, the distortion of stories, narrative, history has been done forever. This is a way for me to be able to counteract that and begin to decolonize that and centralize the narrative of not only myself, but other black and brown writers and authors. I'm shocked this dude didn't say 47 years ago, I had a dream that one day we would be hoodwinked, bamboozled, and led astray to Wakanda. Cap goes 4 years without talking, and now in an exclusive interview with USA Today, he's regurgitating Ta-Nehisi Coates' talking points in a one-on-one interview. I'm skeptical, very skeptical. I'm disappointed Gerald Bell didn't provide any details on where the interview took place. Was it on the phone, in person? Were there handlers around? Cue cards? You land an interview with a reclusive newsmaker. You provide readers some context and of the setting and how it happened. You also ask a couple of difficult questions. Cap is a polarizing public figure. USA Today is a publication for a wide cross-section of America. This isn't a 1970s profile piece for Jet magazine. Cap. You think returning to the NFL is a realistic after you sued the league, smeared the league as racist, and wore a Kunta Kinte t-shirt to a job interview arranged by the commissioner? Cap, if the league is as racist as you say, why do you want to rejoin it? I don't have a lot of enthusiasm to read the memoir someone else is going to write for Colin Kaepernick. It's just going to be more propaganda to prop up a symbol who has trouble speaking for himself. All right, Marcel, let's get us rolling. Thinks Cap's book will be worth reading.
Not for me, but it's gonna sell. Ooh, Michelle Obama's your memoirs, you better move that off the shelf. Cap's coming. And I respect the fact that he's doing it in with his own publishing company that he's starting. So this is gonna be the first release, obviously. And I love the fact that he understands that value. I don't respect that a guy who in the last 4 years hasn't given four interviews, is now going to go on a press tour because I sold a book, a best-selling book, too, Never Shut Up. And guess what it is? A lot of questions, Q&As, and interviews. But now he couldn't do that for the message. He couldn't do it for his own personal reasons of being a symbol of the message, but he could do it for the prophet. He could do it for the book. That's a little disingenuous for me. Will it be worth reading? I'm not so curious because I'm not so curious of his mental framework. I'm not so curious about how he got to this arrival moment and to this place. And I'm not so sure that he will be so forthright in telling all the reasons. So for me, it's not going to be worth reading. But if someone wants to get into his mental architecture, go ahead. I'm not going to diss it, but it ain't going to be on my shelf.
I'll read it. I'll read the book. Is it worth reading? I don't know if I really care about Kaepernick's. I don't care about Kaepernick's opinion. But I'll read the book because it's this roller coaster that's been going on with him for years and years. I would like clarity. And I'm praying that there is clarity. I don't know if there's going to be clarity. No interviews. We have conversations about transparency, but nobody can ask questions. I don't know if we'll ever get to the bottom line. So hopefully the book does it.
He's a polarizing figure.
Yeah.
And there's no questioning that. I would read the book, and I would want to read the book because I would want to know what type of journey he's going to take his reader on. There's been so many different storylines that have been connected to Cap. He's a part of our culture. He's a part of our community, the football community. I would like to see where he's going to go with it. What's the context? I'd like to see if his path is all over the place, if it's all in the forest, or has he, you know, charted a course from point A to point B. For what it's worth, people could not like him. There could be people that love him, people that are detractors of him. But one thing's for certain, he has stayed consistent to what his plan is and to who he believes he is and what he represents. And for that, this could be a golden opportunity for him to actually shed light on people who think not so highly of him. And so that's an opportunity, and that would be enough for me to pique my interest.
I hate to connect this in any way to Snoop, but it's like one of the things I liked about Snoop's apology and almost everything he's done in this Gayle King situation, he spoke for himself, just him and a camera, and it sounded real and authentic. When I hear Kaepernick in this organized interview with no tough questions, systematic oppression, dehumanization, and colonization, the few times I've heard Cap speak, he doesn't sound like this. The few times. He doesn't put together, and again, having been a journalist who takes people's quotes, people, even the smartest people, don't speak in these types of complete sentences.
No, true.
During an
interview. That's true. Well,
even the smartest people, true. Barack Obama doesn't do what Cap allegedly did here in this interview. And so I think Glasses and Marcellus, you make a great point. There's all this, Cap's pro-transparency. But he's the most secretive and reclusive leader we've ever seen in the
but
world.
Maybe he's controlling his emotions.
You are a fool for all of you.
He waited and curved it right back there. That's pretty special.
But then Marcellus's point that I hadn't thought of was like, you would do no talking when you had the entire spotlight and a chance to speak out against police brutality and the underserved community and how they're mistreating the criminal justice system. You would do no talking then. But now that you have a book to promote and a publishing company to promote, you started with USA Today and you're about to go on a campaign.
Oh, you better. And he is. And you know what? It's sad because it's just more protest for personal profit, just like the Nike shoes and then what's going out there. Oh, one shoe store is giving away part of the proceeds. Not Nike, a shoe store. So I catch all these little things. And then he went mute for martyrdom, so everybody could be like, oh, I don't know, but the mystery is the martyrdom. Come on, man. He says right now in this softball Q&A that he wants to control the narrative now. It's 2020. Sorry, brother. In 2014, the Uninterrupted started and the Players Tribune. And their whole mantra was to control the narrative for the athlete, especially the black athlete. Mm-hmm. And this dude's gonna come out 6 years later talking about, oh, I wanna control my narrative. And then the soundbites that you just said, the quotes. If you've read the autobiography of Malcolm X, which I think we all have, and seen Black Panther, you're gonna say what he just said right there. It's so simple, it's so mainstream. Colonization? What the hell?
Colonizer. Yeah, literally, I did think Black Panther. I was like, yeah. Damn, he read the Black Panther.
And so, look, I don't like to totally boo-boo on him, but I do question when he asks, why do I do it at this moment? Why not earlier in my career? A lot of the questions surrounding me, everyone wants to know now.
Can I take the other side of this?
Oh, I hope. 2 seconds. I need it.
Just to provide some possible perspective, is it far out to think that he has thought this out and really vetted this out to a point of where now it's like, once you put something in a book, and you've written a book, I don't know, have you ever done a book? Have you ever done a book?
No.
I have not done one.
I have, but I didn't. Like somebody ghost wrote mine. Like
once it's on the paper, once it's there to be read, you can't recant that. You can't take it back. Even if you have to, or if you're forced to, because something comes out, it's there. So if you're gonna speak in those terms where it's definitive on what it is that you're standing for and what you believe in, why not think it through? Why not plan it through and talk it out and have a business associated with it?
Because it may be manufactured and perfectly crafted instead of authentic and what you really did it for. You knew what you did it
but
for.
What if he can find authenticity?
2016.
But what if he can find authenticity within that manufactured deal? Like, I'm just looking at it. I just want to see if he produces this book. Can we feel like there is authenticity connected to Colin? Because I haven't felt like there has been.
I'll just say this.
But is it possible?
Sound a lot different than these quotes we got here.
I'm about to say.
About decolonization again. If you don't speak to kids from their neighborhoods, don't come with the decolonization and all, you know, dehumanization and all these big buzzwords that you done looked up. And last thing, and we don't have a lot of time, but... Again, I don't think he's in control of his narrative. Okay. I think other people are in control of Kaepernick. He's been a symbol being used by people with a political agenda to take on football as part of it, but also to take on the patriarchy. I believe he's just a prop.
Transparency, no. Is he controlling his narrative? No. The whole campaign lacks transparency. That's... controlling your narrative, like, he's putting out what he wants to put out, but we just losing a level of authenticity. So is it him saying these things? I don't know. But I know it's not transparent at all, and that scares me.
I know he has help. He certainly has resources, and he has a community that's surrounding him that helps him come up with it. And I think people benefit if he can keep his cause strong and can continue to build it out. So... but I do think that he's controlled.
His cause is Cap, you know that.
But it is. But I do believe that he's leading the charge on what he wants his narrative to be.
Yeah, well, for me, I think that the lack of transparency and the different consultation that he's under the guidance of now, that's different than Dr. Harry Edwards, who initially consulted him, is not in that same position right now. You can see the shift in position and the shift in this protest. So. Man, look, I just keep it 1,000. I already know the story of the suburban tryhard, bruh. I already know what that looks like, who always get questioned and overcompensates. I know what that looks like.
Read that book in grace.
Read that, man, saw that book. And
that's what I meant.
How transparent is it gonna be? You say, why did I start it? Not earlier, and you know, when I was a different persona. Is he going to go there?
With the Kaepernicks?
Is he going to go there? Is he really going to go there? Because we know, look, you want to talk football up here? Alden Smith, anybody want to talk? This is a book. You don't want
to
read my book? My book talks bad about me and good. Alden Smith, Tanessa, to teammate. We going there? If we going to go there, I'm reading this book. If we ain't going there,
it might be there.
LeVar Arrington and Will Blackman are back. Let's move to Detroit, sponsored by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. After another disappointing year, reports surfaced today that the Lions are actually looking to trade Matthew Stafford. But general manager Bob Quinn immediately said the reports was, quote, 100% false. Stafford's been in Detroit for 11 seasons, but he's never won a playoff game. Marcellus, would moving on from Stafford be the smartest way to win?
Nope, not at all. I know he didn't play a lot last year and had a losing record in the games he started. 8 games, 3-4-1. But boy, was he on an 8-game mission. Did y'all see them numbers?
Loved it.
Boy.
Got his boy back, Marvin Jones.
Man, if you really want to take it all the way out and extract it to 16 games, it was like a 5,000-yard season, 40 touchdowns around that world. He was balling. That said, this team doesn't have a lot of team success. And they're starting to look at that paycheck like, what are we getting for this? And for me, I wouldn't want to get a lesser quarterback because he's going to be lesser in value and then all of a sudden expect more from this team. So I would stand pat and build around him as much as you can because he has a tremendous arm and ability.
As we dissect the top, you know, 10 picks, it sounds good, but definitely not. I wouldn't do that at all. You look at when team players talk about like arm talent, like Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes, Matt Stafford is right there in terms of arm talent.
Mm-hmm.
And just make sure to get his health right. If you look at this team overall, what, 3 head coaches, 4 offensive coordinators, like there's still things around the organization besides what's going on in the field that there's an issue they need to solve. So I definitely would not do that at all. This is an important offseason to continue to build that team because it's a team game. Once again, the quarterback position is totally fine. Don't move on from him.
He meant to say 100% premature, not 100% false. I mean, let's be real here. That's the quote that should have came out. Yes, yes is a possibility. Let me give you the math equation here. 11 seasons. Mm. Add in there 2016, 2014, 2011. You know what those years are?
No.
Playoff years.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? We talking playoffs. Mm. 11 years? Only 3 playoffs? All right. Patricia. At third season, going into his third season, and then at that final number, you're picking 3 overall in this year's draft. That is not the mathematical equation that would say you're going to keep 1 Matthew Stafford. Mm. It does not. That equals says, yes, trade him. Why you want to trade him? Because you may be able to add another weapon. You may be able to add a more affordable quarterback that can start while you're grooming the quarterback that you draft. Whatever it may be, the odds are not in favor for you to keep an 11-year vet that has only made 3 playoff appearances, and that last one being in 2016. Come on, we live in a current environment.
Pretty
not
good,
in current
pretty
enough.
Good argument.
I like that.
And I completely disagree with
me
that.
Me too.
Oh, it's a good
me
argument.
I'm glad
I completely
you did.
Disagree.
Me too.
Matt Stafford is not remotely the reason the Detroit Lions have only made 3 playoffs in his 11 seasons.
Then pay Dak.
Matt, well, look.
Come on, give me some.
You just,
give me some. Give me some.
You're going to make me buy a cap. I'll buy a cap book right
there.
You paying Dak,
let me just, you just move me to my next point.
Okay, come on. Right.
You just move me to my next point.
Come on. That's what?
If Matt Stafford was on the Dallas Cowboys,
what
would we be saying? What would we be saying?
Special sauce, lettuce,
and
cheese.
So
that was a curve.
Oh,
that was a curve.
That was like, I got it. I got, whoa.
So, that was Iverson right there.
I'm just sorry. Mm. To me,
that's a curve.
They stick with Matt Stafford. Mm. Now, if I were the Dallas Cowboys or somebody that want, I would go, if there's a thought that they might do that, I would go all the way for Matt Stafford. That dude is a difference maker. Mm. He was, just like Marcella said, having a great 2019 season. Yeah. Had he not gotten hurt, the team was going to have success. I think they would have backed into the playoffs. But you put Matt Stafford with the right coach, if Andy Reid had him, hell, he might look like Patrick Mahomes.
Can I detour a little bit? Okay, so Cam Newton, as last seen on the football field, was 6-2, then the injury, but he was MVP. Then he comes back injured from the preseason and has 2 bad games, and then he shut it down.
No,
how come we give Matthew Stafford? I'm just asking. I don't even know why I'm doing it. Why are we giving Matthew Stafford a lot more credit than the Cam Newton as last seen before injury? Because we giving him credit for this season that he got injured.
They both on milk cartons to me. That's just, find them.
You just letting everybody go.
Yeah, let them all go.
I like Matthew Stafford. Yeah, you build around him. But the results don't show that.
If you're doing anyone a favor in terms of trading, you're doing Matt Stafford a favor. Because if he went somewhere else, he would succeed. Like, I can see Indy calling.
Because he's
not going to get hit.
Yeah.
You know, and if he's there having time, not going to get hit in Indy, he's going to light it up again.
Will, I like your thought there.
All right, Darnell, is there a Super 6 contest for the XFL games this weekend?
Yes, sir. And before the games kick off this Saturday, make sure you download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and play for free for your chance to win up to $10,000.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Snoop Dogg.
You know.
First, besides yourself, who's the big dummy of the day?
Exactly.
Damn. Okay, yeah. Big dummy of the day, go to the person that said, how'd you say that? Oh, I respect your argument, but I still disagree. What that mean? If you respect it, why you disagreeing? It don't matter no more then.
That's nuance. That's called nuance.
Yes, nuance.
Yeah, I hear
That's
you.
That's called wit logs.
A little bit of that too.
All right. Let's talk some Snoop Double D-O-G or Snoop Double G.
It's been a minute.
Oh, man.
D-O-double-G.
Who apologized to Gayle King yesterday after coming after her for tough questions she asked about Kobe Bryant's past shortly after his death. Snoop admitted his emotions got the best of him, saying two wrongs don't make a right. Marcellus, what advice would you give Snoop moving forward?
Oh, man. I have no advice now because he stepped up to the plate. He knew his influence. He knew how grand he was in our community and in the world. And even in misstep, he can acknowledge that. Like, you know, what they say, it's not about how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get up. And look good, Snoop, getting up like this, man. Much respect to the dog, right?
Yeah, I don't even know if I have any advice beyond... You know, Scoop made some gospel music and people laughed and thought that was ridiculous.
Huh.
And
good point.
This is why I didn't laugh, because I always say it's like when Kanye made gospel music, I was like, well, hold on. They're praising God and Jesus and I'm supposed to be mad. But when they're rapping about dealing drugs or anything else, I'm supposed to celebrate it.
Preach, brother.
I'm like, no, I accept the truth from wherever it comes.
Yep.
And if his love of Jesus and gospel music made him do what he did today or yesterday for Gayle King, more power to him.
And his mama.
All right. Uncle Jimmy.
Love it.
You got any thoughts on Snoop?
Well, to me, it's really not that complex. Hey, let's be honest. Most black men, we come from a single-parent home. We raised by our mothers. And whether we want to accept it or not, we're creatures of habit. And we wired to be emotional as opposed to being logical. So therefore, when we find ourselves being confronted with a problem or a conflict, we try to solve it with emotion as opposed to logic. And then thus, we find ourselves having overcrowding in our prison systems and overcrowding in our graveyards. Mm. You know? I mean, think about it, man. For those of us that did have a dad, uncle, brother, you know, whatever, man. What was we taught? 9 times out of 10, what did they say? Hey, boy, you better not let nobody disrespect you. Hey, boy, if somebody put their hands on you, you better bust their head back to the fat meat. Don't come back in here crying to me, or else you're going to have to fight me. Come on, man. And repetitively, what we hear in our rap lyrics, rat-a-tat-tat, I put that fool on his back. Come on, man. But actually, man, what is it that we see? You know, as far as my daddy, man, hey, my daddy was a man that was larger than life. Okay, if you crossed him, he bust your head in the streets. I saw it firsthand, and whether it was with my mama or whether it was with me. Okay? Now, beyond that, look at this, man. Let's talk about what we don't talk about. Let's talk about the fact that when we have to try to deal with life on life's terms and we don't possess that ability, and then we want to start dealing with life in an altered state. I told y'all all along, I used to work in law enforcement. I worked in the jail for over 10 years. I watched it time and time again. They come in jail on Friday night. They want to talk to me on Sunday. Yo, Dodge, what I do? What I'm here for? Oh, you don't know. Then after I tell them, you want to go on suicide watch. Because now your head done cleared up. Now you thinking about what you done said. Now it might be a little too late. Say what y'all want to, man. I got much respect for Snoop. Because at least we are able to have this dialogue. At least we're able to have this conversation and talk about how we should handle a situation instead of how we did handle a situation. Good conversation. It's about time. We as black men need to talk about how to handle our emotions responsibly instead of just what we would do on social media.
No jokes today from Uncle Jimmy. Good stuff. Yeah. I, you know, want to defend mothers just a little bit. Can't blame them all for our emotional imbalance if we have that. I've got Snoop at a role player.
Damn.
Yeah, look.
Man, apologize.
I got it. 24 all-time greatest character, you know. He's making progress. He's like, man. God's not finished with him just like he ain't finished with me.
Okay.
Authenticity, I'll give him 2069.
Man. You ain't listening.
I think God got to do some overtime.
You ain't listening to Jen and Juice lately. If you listen to Jen and Juice lately, this is 85. He's a GOAT still. I don't give a damn, man. He made deep cover, bro. Give him love.
Internet agrees with you having a GOAT status.
Yeah.